I'm so excited about sharing this morning because obviously Legacy Sunday, and today I want to talk about generosity. I want to talk about generosity because it's probably one of my favorite things to talk about. I love it. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but generosity breaks something open in your life. It often unlocks things in your world. Anyone ever been on the receiving end of some generosity that has changed your life? Anyone ever? So amazing. Anyone ever given a gift to someone and it's just unlocked something? It's actually just opened up a door in a way like you've never seen. I think all of us can relate to that. In fact, Solomon, one of the greatest kings of all, wrote this in Proverbs 18:16. He says, "A person's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." There's something about generosity, and today I want to share just the power of generosity. It's one of those things that I absolutely love. I mean, Jesus said it's better to give than receive. There's a joy that cracks over your life when you are living in a way that says, whatever I have, God, use it however you can. And I'm not just talking about generosity in the church, by the way. My heart is not that you just come here and maybe sow into something for the church. I mean, tithing, that's fine, and giving to the legacy thing, that's fine. But you know what I really want? I want a generous church. I want people that are generous in their weeks, when they're meeting people they don't know, to be generous wherever they can. I mean, only just recently, I was in a situation where I saw just a moment change for a young lady. I was actually out having dinner with some friends from this church. We went up to a new restaurant in Vicky Point called Oscar Oscar. And Beck had booked it. She said, "Oh, you know, we'll go out for your birthday." And so she booked this table. We got there and the lady goes, "This is your table." And it was the worst table in the house. But what I mean by that is that we got put outside and there was a giant speaker right next to our table, and there was going to be a live singer the whole night, and her speaker was blaring in our table. And I remember saying to Beck, "We're not going to be able to hear each other. This is going to be the worst night. Like, are you serious?" And we're trying to say to the waiter, "Hey, can you move us? Like, because we've got friends coming. We really want to chat." And she just kind of looked at us and looked down and walked off because they were full. Anyway, the night kicks off and we've got our friends there and this lady is singing and she's singing loud and we're hearing it all. We can't hear each other and it's really blurry and we're like, "Oh my gosh, seriously?" And then the table next to us opens up like it just was free. And Beck just secretly whispers to the waitress, "Hey, do you mind if our group moves to that table? Because it's pretty loud here and we don't, you know, it's fine." And the waitress goes off and then all of a sudden the singer on the night stops singing. She goes, "Guys, if you think I'm too loud, just tell me." I yelled out, "Hey, Kylie, you're too loud." Anyway, so for this girl, like she was just, you could tell like that annoyed her. And I was like, that's not what we were trying to do here. We weren't trying to cause offense. We're just right in front of your speaker. And in that moment, I yelled, "Hey, what's your favorite drink?" And she yelled out some cocktail and I went, "Okay." And I got up and I walked inside and ordered her a favorite drink. Now, the drink gets delivered to her, and she's like, "Where'd this come from?" And then she finds out it's from our table. She goes, "What's your name?" I said, "It's Az." She goes, "Is." She's the Kiwi. And I go, "Yes, it's Is. Thanks, Is, for the drink." And so she keeps singing, and then she has a break. And it's so amazing how a bit of generosity cracked open something. Instead of her getting annoyed at us as she's having her favorite cocktail, she gets her drink and comes and sits with our group. And then she starts chatting to our group. And she says to one of the girls in our group, she goes, "Where are you guys from? How do you all know each other?" And she goes, "From church." She goes, "You're Christians?" And one of the girls goes, "Yeah, that's our pastor." She goes, "Is? Pastor Is?" Said, "Yeah, I hope you're enjoying your drink." She goes, "Oh, thanks very much." And so she's having this drink. And then throughout the night, this relationship just kept growing. You know, this kind of like literally, it was hilarious. Every time she'd stop, she'd go, "Just want to do a shout out to Elevation Church and Pastor Is." And then a couple of the girls, I'm not going to drop them in, a couple of the girls, she starts shouting, "Oh, you sing at church." She goes, "You're part of the choir." And they go, "Yeah." And they go, "Get up here and sing with me." And so we're having this night. And by the end of the night, we were the last ones to leave. Our group is helping her pack down her stuff and take her to the car. And she's blown away. And in that moment, we're able to invite her to church. She said she'd come. She hasn't been yet. Generosity changes things. When you decide just to be generous instead of being a stinge. You let go of something and go, you know, I just want to bless you no matter what. You know, in my life, I've loved this stuff for a very long time. I've shared before, I used to have massive dreadlocks. If you're new to me, yes, the Hobbit had dreadlocks. And I used to love doing this when the Gateway Bridge used to be the little toll booths. I used to love driving up in my bomby 1989 Ford Laser, winding down the window with my dreads hanging out, go pay for the car behind me. And it would always be like an Audi or a BMW or something that was getting paid for by this derelict-looking dude. And they'd drive by and I'd wave to them. But generosity messes with people. It messes with people, and it's a great thing to be generous. I actually believe that generosity brings heaven to earth. You know, probably when we first got here earlier, I was sharing about a girl I met at a cafe who was a terrible waitress. And after a while, God just challenged me to ask her story, and she opened up, shared how she'd lost everything in the bushfires earlier that year and moved to Queensland. And the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, not just to say, I hope things get better, but to actually act in generosity. And I said to my mate at the time, we went and withdrew a bunch of cash, put it in a card, went to pay for our coffees and said, hey, it's going to be okay. As she opened it, she burst into tears. She says, I can't take this. I said, no, you can. God loves you. Generosity changes things. That girl now, when I go to that cafe on the Gold Coast, if she sees us, she will literally run across the road to give us a big hug because of the impact of a little bit of generosity. You know, just in this recent times, the Holy Spirit was challenging me. And one of the things I've discovered about generosity is the more you give, the more God just shows up. It's like you can't outgive God. As I said a little while ago, there was a couple actually in this church who needed a new dishwasher. And I just felt the Holy Spirit said, you need to give them a dishwasher. They didn't ask for it. And I said to Beck, I've got to go buy a dishwasher. She goes, okay. So we delivered this dishwasher. And, you know, like it was just one of those things you do. And today I'm going to share some stories. And in the Bible it says, don't tell people about your generosity. God has blessed me enough. I just want to share some story, okay? I don't need anything more from God. I just want to share. And hopefully it inspires you to understand how God works. And I remember thinking, okay, we bought this dishwasher. And a couple of days later, I actually got a call from a school because I work in schools. And it was from a school that I'm actually working in tomorrow. I'm flying to Mackay tomorrow to work in this school. And this principal calls me and goes, "As, we need you to come a day earlier. We've booked you for 2 days. We need you to come a day earlier. No more work. We don't need to, like, seriously, we don't need to do any more work. We just have to break it up over 3 days, not over two." And I said, "Mate, you know, obviously I charge for my time." And he goes, "Don't worry about it. We're going to pay you for that full day for not doing any extra work." That paid for the dishwasher. You can't outgive God. You really can't. God has a sense of humor. There's been time and time again. I just love generosity. Even a couple of weeks ago, I was here. One of my favorite things to do. Came to speak at youth a couple of weeks ago. Came in, they had their canteen. I said, "Hey, put $30 on the tab, all right? Whatever kids order a chocolate bar, just give it to them, right?" And I forgot about it. And one of the kids comes in. He just literally, in the foyer, comes and goes, "As, thanks, man. You've changed my life, bro." I'm like, "You need to get out more. It's a chocolate bar." Generosity is a fun thing. And I hope you get it. You know, sometimes people come in and they think about money. "Oh, you just want my money." No, no, no. I want to see God crack something off your life. I want to see you get it. Because, man, this is one of my favorite things. I remember when I lost everything. I lost all my money in 2011. And I remember Beck and I just started dating then. And truthfully, I felt like my arms and legs had been cut off because I couldn't be generous. But I still chose to be generous with what I had, but it was tough. I was like, I've lost all my joy because I can't give anything. I've got nothing to give. Sucks. You know, for Beck and I, this legacy journey and being part of this legacy journey this week, just so you know, when it comes to giving for us, like we tithe. Tithing is just the first portion, bringing our first. You know, we tithe. Some people say, "Oh, well, do you give to the poor?" Yeah, we give to the poor. We have a small tribe with Compassion Australia. And we give to legacy as well. And you know what? Over the years, when it comes to generosity, I've sat down with my accountant and he goes, "You can't give that. How are you still alive?" And I'm like, my God's pretty big. You know, the Psalms, in Psalm 24, it actually says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." It's already God's anyway. I'm just being a vessel to give back and share back. You know, as a community, we look to raise $300,000 over this next couple of days. And, you know, some people have said, "Well, aren't you just thankful with your current building? Why aren't you thankful for what God's given you?" And I am. I'm so thankful for the seed that's been sown. I'm so thankful for those people that have been in this church for 24 years that have sown and sown and sown and actually created a place where you get to enjoy and experience God. I'm so thankful for this building. But as I said, just this week, talking to our landlord, I was strong-armed and put in a position where I had no power to actually make a decision we needed for our church community. I actually had to say, okay, mate, yep, you're the boss. And I don't want that for the future generations. I want to pass on a baton that says, this is your home. You want to put nails in your walls? Go ahead. I know that through the sacrificial seed that's made today, through so many of you, Jehovah Jireh is going to show up in miraculous ways. I mentioned a few weeks ago about how God is a gardener, right? And how seed is sown and then he grows it. It's so interesting. Some of you will give today and you might even make a sacrificial gift and you're like, okay, God, I need my return. But if you put a seed in the ground, you don't dig it up in 2 days, right? Where is it? Sometimes it takes a lot of time. If I've discovered anything with generosity over my life, it's often when I've given so much and then the next day I get that big bill and I'm like, where are you, God? He's like, trust me. But hey, I'm still here. He got me through every circumstance, every time. I don't know how, but he did. You know, I was actually reading this story about how bamboo is grown. Apparently it takes 5 years for bamboo to come out of the ground, 5 years in the ground. But when it does, it just shoots like crazy, shoots up 30 meters really fast. The thing is, it took 5 years in the ground. And so when you sow seed, God will do it exactly in the right time. Last week, Beck shared about my business. She just mentioned this amazing miracle that's happened in my life this week. 4 years ago, I sowed some seed. I was in a school in Parkes, New South Wales, where a young girl listened to my program. 4 years ago, I haven't knocked on a school door for years because, and I haven't even updated my website for 5 years because I've got so much work there. And Beck and I have been discussing, do I shut down the business as we do the church? And we prayed only a couple of months ago. We're like, God, if you want to open doors, you open doors and we'll just keep doing that. And then out of the blue, this girl sends an email and she says, as you still doing your programs? This is 2 weeks ago. I said, yep. She goes, as I work for New South Wales government, I saw your program in my school 4 years ago. It changed my life so much that I think every teenager needs to see it, and we want to fund it. And I was like, great. What do you mean? I'm in. But over the last two Fridays, I've had Zoom calls where they've like, pretty much, I mean, I got on this Zoom with her boss. I said to this girl, do you even remember what I talked about? She goes, no. I just remember it was the greatest day of my school life and every student needs to hear it. And her boss goes, whatever she said, we trust her. And so it's just been phenomenal. Like, I'm not good at writing grants. We're going to give you a grant writer. So there's all this stuff happening. Now, if it comes off or not, I don't care. I just love that God is so funny. God's looked after it. You know, God's been teaching me how to sow and how to let go of my finance for years. And I just want to share some personal story and testimony. I remember giving my first $500 to something similar like a legacy. It was a huge stretch, massive. I was about 19. I was like, holy heck, that's huge. And then I remember giving my first 1,000. And then that year I ended up sending a bunch of kids on a missions trip, which stretched me. And then it was 2,000. And then in a short moment, God called me to give $10,000 away. I was like 22. It was 3 years of my life savings. And I'm talking 3 years of my life savings. People are like, man, you must have been so rich. No, I was earning 25 grand a year. But I remember giving it away and trusting God. I remember the first time I signed a $20,000 check and then a $30,000 check. I know the feeling of letting go of $40,000. And you might be thinking, as is a baller. No, God just makes me empty out. But you know what? I don't regret any of it. Because God is a God above everything. And I want to challenge you, whatever God's calling you today, it doesn't matter about the amount. Just let God start you on the journey of generosity. It could be literally $5. You're like, I've never given a cent, but I'm going to give up $5. I'm going to trust you, God. That's more. You know what? That $5 for you might be more than someone who can sign a $100,000 check. But God wants to do something. He grows the muscle of generosity. And I believe wholeheartedly he has miracles waiting for each and every one of you. You know, people say to me, as the miracles happen on earth, and I'm like, yeah, miracles are in your back pocket. Yeah. When you bless someone, that's a miracle to them. And God gives you an opportunity. You know, we're talking about building a home, our own home. And over the last period of time, I've had so many people come up to me and go, as what's it going to look like? Are we talking single level, double level? Are there going to be underground car parks? Is there going to be a kids area? Is there going to be a kids slide, a ball pit? You know, like we have all these conversations. What's the cafe going to be like? Is there going to be space outside? And truthfully, I have no idea. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know this. God has got a plan, and I trust him in that plan. You know, I believe wholeheartedly that God is going to show up, and I believe wholeheartedly that this church will continue to grow. Why? Because God is glorified here. And the truth of Jesus is being preached here. The truth that Jesus died on a cross, rose again, so you could have forgiveness and eternal life. A free gift. And I know wholeheartedly that God's going to show up here because just like today is Pentecost Sunday, I believe we're still doing what happened way back then. I think it's amazing it's Pentecost Sunday. I wish I could say I was so smart to put it on today, but I'm not. If you don't know the story of Pentecost Sunday, I want to read about this. This is what happened in the early church and how it exploded. Acts 1, 3 to 9. Jesus is alive again after he's died on the cross. He's hanging out with his followers. And it says this, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Stop there for a moment. If you thought Jesus died, rose again, and then disappeared, he was around for another 40 days. 40 days hanging out. You can't deny that. And he says this, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized me with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So Jesus has done this, and then we're going to get to chapter 2, and it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what was seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and as the Spirit enabled them. This is a wild moment. And all of a sudden, people started to gather because they were hearing their language being spoken, the truth of who Jesus was in their language. They start to accuse these guys of being drunk. And they said, nah, they're not drunk. And Peter starts to unpack in verse 32. He says this. He says, God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. A bit further down in the chapter, the people are so blown away by this moment. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Can I just point out that again? The promise is for you and your children and all those far off. And you know what? That promise is still for you and your children and for all those that are far off. The gift of the Holy Spirit, receiving the truth that Jesus died and was resurrected. That is the good news. And as long as we preach that message, as long as the Holy Spirit is present, this is what can happen. It goes on and says, when many words, he warned them with many words and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000! That's a good day in church. Man, 3,000! I love the fact that we've chosen Legacy Sunday on this day. We remember this moment. I believe that God set that up because it wasn't us. It's a powerful reminder of what God can do. You know, this church is a place where the Holy Spirit resides. We're always going to preach the truth of repentance and following Jesus. You know, I believe wholeheartedly that every seat in this room will be filled at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. with people that need Jesus. Your friends and your family are going to be here worshiping God with you. You know, as I was praying about this building and everything, I just felt God say, you're going to do a third service, it's going to be full too. God's going to do a miraculous thing because we will never stop preaching, repent and be baptized. We will never stop allowing the Holy Spirit to move. The truth is 3,000 people were added in that day. And people go, man, as 3,000, that's a lot of people. That's a mega church. And I go, I don't really care much for numbers. I don't care much for souls. I do care about people's souls though. And quite frankly, I think about 3,000, there's 150,000 people in the Redlands that need Jesus. So 3,000 ain't that many. And it's not beyond God to reach every person in this community. I know this church will grow because God is here. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Trust me, you are not partnering to us. Like with this legacy, if you decide to fill out a card and give something, you are not partnering with Beck and I. You are partnering with God and his plan for this city and the future of this city. You know, I think about this church. As I said, I don't know what it's going to look like physically. Will we get a block of land and build? I don't know. Will we get a building and retrofit it? Maybe. But I want to share with you what I know will be in this home that we have. As I was praying about it, I wrote this down. Our home will be a place of worship, a place where people will come and find their victories in Christ, a place where I believe prayers will be answered and miracles will be poured out. I'm believing that there will be this will be a place dripping with the anointing of God, and for that reason, people's lives will be changed for eternity. It will be a place where people will hear the truth about Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for them, and through his resurrection, what hope is in store for those who believe. A place where we will lovingly guide people home to Jesus through both truth and grace. You know, I see a thriving kids ministry, James. Thriving kids ministry. A place where every child wants to be on Sunday. Not just because of the fun, but because they want to hear from God himself. I see a youth ministry busting at the seams with young people that will find their identity and purpose in God. I see a young adults community full of young professionals, influencers that will bring change in the marketplace, restoring righteousness in places that evil has had its way. I see young families thriving and our over 50s ministry passing on the baton like never before to those younger than them. I see our elderly being pillars of faith and guideposts for the next generation that they cannot miss. I see an outreach arm in this church like never before with our Made with Love. I see more mouths being fed than ever before. I see a commercial kitchen churning out these meals and blessing the community. And when people talk about our church, they'll say, what a generous church. I see people from every walk of life in our community walking in here and being accepted with open arms with the love of Jesus. Their lives change forever through the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. I can see it because I believe in a big God. And I know what he's capable of. You know, it's humbling as your pastor really to think of what the future holds. We talked about stewarding earlier. We will steward every dollar that's given. We will honor the commitment that you make. We will not waste it. I've only got a few more minutes today. People go, okay, that's what you see, but what will you be known for? I want to share it with you today. In fact, we're going to continue our name series. And just for a moment, the name of God, we've talked about the characteristics of God that those of old gave to God, the one true God, this Jewish Hebrew God. And today I want to talk about Jehovah Nissi. Now, if you've never heard of Jehovah Nissi, it simply means Jehovah, my banner or my flag. And this story I'm going to read today, I believe, will give us some insight into what this church will be known for above all else. I want to read right now. I want to open up to Exodus 17, 8 to 15. To give you some context of this story, we've got Moses, this man that's led the Israelites out of Egypt. from slavery. After hundreds of years of slavery, he's led them out. He's led them across the Red Sea with the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. He's taken them into the desert, and they're on their way to the promised land. And as they're on their way to the promised land, they've had a whole bunch of things go wrong. And then another thing goes wrong. Their people in the desert start getting attacked by a group of people called the Amalekites. The Amalekites are the greatest enemy of Israel. They always have been. If you want to go and do some research on the Amalekites, they are like the arch nemesis of Israel. And the Amalekites come out of nowhere and start attacking these people as they're trying to get to where they're going. And I want to read this story as this unfolds. The Amalekites, it says, came and attacked the Israelites from Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of your men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites for generation to generation. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner." I don't want to take up much more time this morning, but I do want to highlight some things about this story. It's really interesting. You see, what I love about this story is that when they come under attack, Moses sees his people under attack. He knows exactly what to do. You see, in the past, Moses always goes to God and says, "God, what should I do?" And God tells him. Right from the beginning, the first miracle Moses sees is God with a burning bush, and Moses gets a staff, and God says, "Throw down your staff." It turns into a serpent. He picks it up. Effectively, God says, "Use what you've got in your hands. I'm going to do miracles with it." God then asked constantly Moses to use his hands to bring about miracles. So with the Red Sea, "Stretch out your hands and I will separate the Red Sea." They're in the desert. They need food and they need water. The water situation is a really big one. They're going to die. They're going to thirst. And God says, "Hey, go and strike that rock with your hand and your staff. It'll crack open." And God provides water and they survive. Time and time again, God says, "Hey, use your hands, and I'll do whatever's in your hand. Just use it, and I'm going to show up." This time round, Moses doesn't even go to God. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He says, "Hey, Joshua, you go down and fight. I'm going up a hill, and I am lifting my hands towards the heaven." What did Moses choose to do? He went to worship God. He's like, "I know who my God is, and I will lift my hands towards the heaven. That is where my help comes from." So Moses goes into this position. It's the most incredible story. He's lifting his hands, and as he's raising his hands in worship, the army is winning. But then he gets tired and he drops his hands for a moment, and then the Amalekites start to win. And so they put some rocks under his arms trying to hold him up. And then Aaron and Hur say, "We'll hold your hands up. Keep worshiping." Sometimes we think this is some kind of magic moment. No, this is a moment of worship. Moses knew for his victory to happen, he needed to worship God. And in that moment where he wins, he declares something. He says, "Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner." Another way of putting it is, "The Lord is my flag, the one that I will wave. The one that I will declare is my victory." I'm telling you now, the world has so many flags waving. Man, the flag's being waved right now. All of these sort of crazy things going on in our world. And I tell you now, the flags being waved are quite interesting. We're talking about political flags being waved. "This is what I stand for." The flags of sexuality, "This is what I stand for." the flags of, you know, even flags, even thinking about what you declare, think, Facebook pages, right? Profiles, I've been vaccinated. I'm not vaccinated. The flag I wave. Moses declares, the Lord is my banner. And this is what I will wave, because when I wave the banner that is God, Jehovah Nissi, everything's below it. And I will find my victory. You want to know what we're going to be known for? Waving the flag of Jesus. You see, all of these names, this Hebrew God, the one and true God we've been talking about, every name was encompassed in a man named Jesus. God in flesh. And it says in the scripture that on him was bestowed the name above every other name. I'm telling you now, you might even think to yourself, like when we're in worship and we raise our hands, that's a bit weird. Can I tell you? It's not weird at all. This moment is saying, you are my banner, whom I trust in. No matter what my circumstance, I will praise you. I will lift my hands. In the Psalms, David wrote, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name, I will lift up my hands. The raising of hands is a declaration to say, you're above it all, and I trust you for the victory. This church will always be known where the banner is raised is Jesus. And when we go through our battles and our struggles as a church, what will we do? We will first go to a place of praise. And we will lift our hands and say, God, you've got it. Because I know that you're above it all. You are above it all. I'm going to get Beck to come up here right now. Because truthfully, I know the Redlands needs this church community. But more than anything, they need Jesus and the Holy Spirit. What I want to do today, as we kind of wrap up, I'm going to pray and Beck's going to pray as well. But I want us to all stand right now. If you have your legacy card, maybe with your family or whatever, or even if you've just in your heart have decided, you know what, God, I want to be part of this. I want to pray a blessing over you guys, and I want you to raise your hands towards heaven as a banner towards Jesus. You are my banner. You are Jehovah Nissi. I want you to think about your circumstances in your life right now, the battles that you are fighting, the victories that you need. I love that when Moses couldn't raise his hands because he was so tired, he had friends to hold his arms up. This community, that's what it's all about. You can't worship. Let me help you worship God. I want you to bring forward every need in your life. And I'm believing God is going to crack something open as we bring a sacrifice. We talked about Jehovah Jireh a few weeks ago when Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac and God made a way. With these sacrifices, God is going to make a way. I believe wholeheartedly God's going to come through. So Jesus, with our hands lifted high, you are our banner. God, we thank you that you're above every circumstance, every sickness, every situation. And God, I pray for this legacy offering, God, that you would do what only you can do. Multiply it. God, make a way. God, remind us to come back to you and lift our hands towards heaven and trust that you are in control. It's only you that can bring about the victory. God, I pray a blessing over each and every person that pours out in Jesus' name.
And Lord, as we bring these gifts before you, Father, they're gifts from our heart, they're sacrifices to you, Father. And we come before you with hearts that say, Lord, we want more of you. Lord, we come before you and we say, less of us and more of you, Jesus. Less of us and more of you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray in thanks that you are a mighty God. Lord, you are our El Shaddai. You are our Jehovah Rapha. You are our Jireh, Lord. You are our Jehovah Nissi, Father, you are all things. You are all sufficient. You are all powerful. And so, Father, we bring these gifts before you. Lord, we bring just a small sacrifice in comparison to what you've done for us, but we bring it before you, Father, and we ask you to have your way. We ask you to bless it. We ask you to multiply it. We ask you to do what only you can do with it. And Father, as we bring these sacrifices to you, Lord, I just pray and ask for your blessing to fall from heaven. Yes. Lord, for your blessing to fall upon this church, but not just upon this church, upon every individual and family that calls this place home, Lord. Would you pour out your blessing? Would you pour out your favor? Father, I just see this church and every person in it just having the favor of God, the hand of God following them, going before them into all circumstances. Right now, Father, we pray your blessing in every of every business that's represented in this place, Father. I pray for breakthroughs in business. I pray for profits beyond anything they've ever seen before. We're moments where they go, only God, only God, only Jesus Christ could have come through with this. Father, I see families being restored. I see lost sons and daughters coming home, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, I see depression being lifted in Jesus' name. I see anxiety being lifted in Jesus' name. I see healings in the physical happening. Thank you, Jesus. I see physical healings happening even right now, Father. We bring people before you that need healing, and we ask you, Father, to put your healing hand upon them. Father, we just thank you. I see addictions being broken right now in the name of Jesus. Addictions being broken. And Father, we just ask for your blessing and your favor to pour down, Lord. And we just pray that we will always be a church, and we declare and prophesy that we will always be a church that waves the banner of Jesus Christ. We wave our banner, and Lord, may the Redlands know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray this in your mighty Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me just leave you with this psalm. Psalm 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.